In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is the octave day of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, and today when we end our novena to Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, I wanted to tell you about the country named Japan, which is also one of those countries which has loved Our Lady, because for many centuries, even though it is overwhelmingly pagan country, Japan has had her small but very fervent devotees. Christianity was first introduced to Japan in the year 1549, when a group of Catholics led by Saint Francis Xavier, they arrived in Kagoshima on the island of Kyushu. One time Saint Francis Xavier stopped at the castle of Ichiku. Its commandant had already been baptized under the name of Michael, and it was now that his wife, his eldest son, who was then about 5 years old, and several of his vassals were baptized. Before Saint Francis continued his journey, the commandant asked him to give something good for the healing of diseases, because the place was without any doctors or medicines. And Saint Francis presented him with an image of Mary and a scourge, and said, "My son Michael, here is a medicine for souls. Adore the image of the Holy Virgin, and when you wish to obtain forgiveness for your sins, kneel before it and ask Our Lady to obtain pardon through her divine Son." In presenting the scourge, Saint Francis said, "This, my son Michael, is for the health of your body. If anyone, Christian or pagan, suffers from fever, you must give him or he must give himself 3 light blows with this scourge, while he invokes the very sacred names of Jesus and Mary. In this way the sick will be healed." During the remaining 15 years of Michael's life, the sick were constantly coming to him from different parts of the country, being drawn by reports of the benefits that the others had received from this remedy. Michael was so careful to observe Saint Francis Xavier's directions that he would never allow more than the precise number of 3 blows to be given, saying that otherwise disease would get worse. Because Saint Francis had to leave and he had no priest to spare for the Catholics there, he taught Michael how to baptize babies and adults. He also gave him manuscripts in Japanese, which contained a life of Christ, the 7 penitential psalms, some prayers, and a calendar. He told the Catholics to meet on Sundays and feast days, that they might read the life of Christ, while on Fridays they were to recite the penitential psalms. During St. Francis' mission trips to Japan, Catholicism was accepted by commoners, but only tolerated by the warlords. For the Japanese, their faith in the Virgin Mary played an important role in accepting Christianity. The paintings of Our Lady even created an impression on the false religion of the Buddhists, who felt a mysterious closeness with her. But a couple of decades later, following a military takeover, the Japanese warlords took steps to eliminate Catholicism from Japan, and these persecutions continued for 300 years. While hiding from government persecution, the Catholics' love to Virgin Mary continued to be strong. The missionaries had brought paintings and statues of Mary to Japan, but because the journey there was long and it was difficult to carry things over long distances, most of the items were quite small. And the government came up with a ploy to use these sacred images in their persecution. After being seized by the authorities, they were encased in wood and used as a tool against the Catholics. These new wood-encased sacred images were known as the fumie, and the suspected Catholics would be made to deny their faith and step on the image. At the beginning of each year, local government officials would carry out the fumie ritual. Each resident in an area was required to step on a painting or a woodblock print of Jesus or Mary, so as to prove he or she was not a Christian. Anyone refusing to step on the fumie was taken away to be tortured and put to death. Those people who were too weak to resist wept their eyes and heart out from the pain of feeling that by stepping on the sacred image, they were betraying Jesus and Mary. It seemed almost impossible that the Christians could have maintained their Catholic faith over a period as long as 300 years in an environment of continuous persecution and police state. Fumie rituals took place every New Year's. Money rewards were given to anyone who reported a Catholic to the authorities. Those who refused to stamp their sacred images, they were sent to penal colonies. There they were subjected to many types of torture and punishment, using fire, water, snow, ice, wooden crates, hunger, and crucifixion. In some cases, parents were made to watch their children being tortured. But against all odds, Catholics did survive. Since everyone was called to do the fumie, it is of course obvious that many of the Catholics did perform this evil act. You might think them weak in their faith, condemn their act, and say that you would never do such a thing yourself. But are you so sure? Don't you think you might have often hurt Jesus and Mary by sinning and not shown any signs of repentance? In our times, so many Catholics, instead of crying for their sins like Japanese Christian did, they have grown cold to Jesus and Mary. Our Lord has blessed us here so much, children, with the daily sacrifice of the Mass, several in a day, in fact, but there still remains lots of room in the pews in our church and mission centers, Sundays included. The Japanese Catholics, for three centuries, they had no church or mass to go to. To non-Christians, the fumie were just ordinary paintings and woodblock prints, but the Catholics felt as if they were literally stepping on Jesus and Mary. When they returned to their homes, they would tearfully pray and repent for having nailed Jesus to the cross once again. They were weak, yes, but they were repentant, while many people in our times of wealth, comfort, and sin find even mass attendance too strenuous and time-consuming. That can never be with you, children, but you need to be thankful for Jesus and Mary, for the tears and pain they have suffered for you. We priests in this church, we get letters, emails, and calls all the time from people who would so much want to go to daily Mass, or at least occasionally go to Sunday Mass, but they can't because there is no priest. But even for them, there is no reason to despair because of God's great gift, His great mercy, His sending of His Son Jesus, whose birthday we very soon celebrate. Give thanks to God, children, how good the things are with you, and whenever you have sinned, examine your conscience well and make a good confession to a priest whom God in His mercy and goodness has sent to you. And it is also a good idea to follow the rule of Saint Francis Xavier, which he gave. Adore the image of the Holy Virgin, and when you wish to obtain forgiveness for your sins, kneel before it and ask Our Lady to obtain pardon through her divine Son. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.